If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to turn with us to a portion of reading. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Last Sunday evening, I preached at Fellowship Church, and I preached a sermon, and I titled it, the Lord gave the title, Exposing Satan. And that message has been one that has been with me all week. Last evening, I was... I took a nap, and I usually don't do that, but I had taken a nap about noon, and I slept quite a bit that day. Woke up about 5 and was supposed to be at Old Paths, and I don't know how the TV got turned on. I wasn't watching the TV when I started my nap. I was reading, and I ended up taking the nap. I had my iPad beside me, and when I opened my eyes, the television was on. It wasn't loud, and I didn't even really hear it, but I guess I'd been watching the news the last time that I had turned on the television, and I don't remember what channel it was on. It was a news channel, and I don't remember which one. But at the bottom, there's a scroller, and it said Decision 2016. There's a news channel that has that, and I don't know which one it is. But the Lord kind of impressed me, and He gave me that thought, Decision 2016. And He gave me a little bit more to go along with it. Decision 2016, a nation that has rejected God. You know, I usually don't broach this subject from behind the pulpit, but I've never been a pastor in this type of year. I don't really care to discuss politics from back here. I don't think that's my job. But I do believe a few things about what the Bible says. And I believe it's important that God's people pray. I believe that. Now, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. That does not bother me. You can affiliate with whichever one that you choose to. I'm not going to ask you, and more than likely, I'm not going to tell you which one I affiliate with. That's not why I'm up here this morning. But I want us to realize a few things about what's ahead for our nation in the coming years. You see, we've got a decision in 2016, or so that news channel says. You see, 4 years ago, the United States of America, and I want to say this about our country. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. We have more freedoms than any country in the world. We have more of an opportunity to do things than any other country. Countries today would just give just a little bit so that they would have the opportunity that we have. I'll say this, I believe very much in the voting process. I believe if you are alive and you should be registered, you should go vote. Voice your opinion. I believe that is all of our civic duty. I believe we have that opportunity. Therefore, I believe that we should do that. Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but I believe you should do that. That's just my feeble opinion. Told you I wasn't going to preach on politics, and I'm not. But our decision this year is not on Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I've heard about all that I want to hear about those two people. I've been sick and I've been tired of hearing about what either one of those candidates can do for us. I want you to realize something this morning, church. There's not one thing they can do for us. They're both limited in the things that they can do. They can only do what their human bodies will allow them to. They have ideas. They have things they would like to see done. But I'm going to say this morning, the decision is not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Our decision this morning is whether or not the nation of the United States of America wants to serve God or they want to serve themselves. That's the decision. You see, we've lived in this country. I've been alive 23 years. I've been through a few of those election cycles, they call them. You see, we live in a democracy or a form of a democracy where we have the ability to go and vote or elect the leaders of our nation. We don't need a president, but we sure do need a God. We need God more in this nation than I believe we've ever needed Him. We're going to talk about some things this morning that happened many years ago when people rejected God. I don't want us as a nation to reject God any longer. We need Him. Oh, but they're not looking to Him anymore. We're looking for somebody to bail us out all the time. Well, if you're looking at either one of the candidates this year to do that, you're looking in the wrong direction. We've got to look to God this morning for our help. Turn with us to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 25. This is talking about Israel. And we've talked a lot about in times past about how Israel loved God and then turned away from God. Loved God for a little while and turned away from God. That's a big parallel to the United States of America. You see, I'm of the belief, and a lot of people disagree with me on this, that the United States of America was founded upon Christian principles and values. I still believe that. I still believe that the United States is a Christian nation, but I don't know how much longer that's going to be if God's people keep rejecting God and allowing them to do things that God's not happy with. We've got a decision in 2016, and it's not going to start when we go to vote. It's going to have to start here at Mount Calvary. It's going to have to spread into those hearts of those that have been saved by the grace of God. If we're going to do this, if we're going to take our nation back and serve God, it's going to have to start right here. It can't start in a world that knows nothing about God. It's got to start with God's people first. It has to. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 25, it says, "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all of my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear or listened to me, but they hardened their neck," or they kept themselves away. "They did worse than their fathers. Therefore shall they speak all the words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt not say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." If that doesn't sound like our country that we're living in today, I don't know what does. You see, I believe this morning that we as God's people, I don't want you to get the wrong message this morning. I don't want you to think that I'm preaching that there's no hope. You see, because I believe as long as the church is still here, as long as God is still on His throne, as long as time is still standing, I believe we still have the time and the opportunity to rescue our nation. I don't believe she's so far gone yet. I think we cannot get her back. I believe it's going to be a grassroots effort from God's people that's going to rescue what the United States once was. It's going to have to start that way. It's going to take God's people hearkening or listening to God again. Now you go back. You go back into some times in the Bible when God's people didn't listen to Him. You know, God always had a plan for things. From the very beginning, when God told the leaders to do something, He told them to do it completely. When He told them to go and destroy a nation, He meant destroy it completely. He said, when you go in there, when you go in and destroy that country, you destroy everything in your path. Don't you leave one thing unturned. You take all the people, you destroy them, and you just annihilate what's there. But you see, those people didn't always do that. They left stones unturned. They left opportunities out. They didn't listen to God fully when He spoke to them. And it's still getting us into trouble today. We're still dealing with the after effects from a lot of things that happened over 2,000 years ago. Still dealing with them. Do you understand this morning why it is so important that people listen to God? That's why the decision is not about kings or queens or senators or representatives or presidents or any of that matter. It's about choosing God finally.
Can you imagine God just standing out over heaven, just looking at our nations, all this world, saying, I wish one time somebody would just choose me. I wish sometime somebody would just listen to me. When I was growing up, I'd get in trouble and Mom would say something like, I wish you would just listen to me. Well, I believe God is saying, I wish you would just listen to me. I wish you would just take heed and you wouldn't find yourself in as much trouble as you're in. Now, let's understand a few things this morning. The Bible tells me that we should grow in grace and in knowledge. I told Brother Coleman this morning as we were coming in, we're having a discussion. I said, I'm really tired of God's people believing that it's okay to be unlearned. I'm really tired of people believing that it's okay not to know what's in this. You see, I still believe that God's people must know what He has said, what He has set forth, and what's coming to pass. I want you to realize something this morning. I can't tell you a lot of things, but I can tell you a few things about what the Lord has said, what will come to pass, and what is coming to pass. The Scripture says that many shall turn away from the truth. Is that not what Jeremiah told them there? He said, truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Do you realize today we live in probably per capita one of the most Christian nations in the world? And I use that term loosely. Someone quoted this statistic. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to use it this morning because I think it's probably close. But someone, maybe here, I don't remember, said that about 95% of people claim to be Christians in the United States of America. You all know how I feel about using the term Christian. You know my spiel on that, and I'm not going to go into it this morning. But just because people say that they're Christians doesn't mean that they are. Just because we use the terminology, just because churches are full all over the place, doesn't mean that they're actually God's people. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean just because there are churches, and we live in a very privileged area where there are churches on every corner. We live in the Bible Belt of the United States of America. You can go just about anywhere and find a church or an organization that calls themselves a church. And you can go and you can hear a myriad or lots of different things about what the Bible says about salvation and church doctrine. You can go and you can hear all of those things. But so often, the truth is left out of all of it. You see, the truth doesn't want to be told anymore. People don't want the truth. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I still like the truth. The truth isn't easy. It's not pleasant all the time. But I'm going to say this. It's good for all doctrine and it's good for all reproof. It's good to show us where we stand with God. I want you to ask yourself this morning, where do you stand with God? What's your decision? Are you standing with Him or are you going to stand away from Him? Are you going to go with Him or are you going to go against Him? I thought this morning, as I came over here, I thought, you know, Lord, I'm coming back. Been gone a week, and you want me to go over there and preach this. But I want you to realize something. It's time that we as God's people wake up and know what is before us. I believe in my heart what we're facing in the next couple of months is probably one of the greatest election cycles this nation has ever seen. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you who to choose. Really, it's not my place to tell you who to choose. But I'm going to say this morning, when it comes down to deciding the future of the United States of America, God has to be at the forefront, or He won't be there at all. God is going to have to be the leader of this nation if there's ever going to be any change among ourselves. He's going to have to be. Thought about these verses of scriptures over in Ezekiel chapter 5. And I want you to realize something this morning. What I'm fixing to read to you is very graphic. Very graphic. And I don't mean to cast a dark shadow. I don't. But in order to understand what's coming, you've got to understand some of the things that have happened in our past when a nation has rejected God. I don't know if you realize this, but there is a blatant rejection of God in our nation. He's left out of everything. He's left out of churches. You say, preacher, surely he's not going to be left out of there. He's being left out of the very thing that people stand to proclaim from pulpits all over the world. And he's being left out when he should be included in everything. I've heard people say this, and I believe it to be the truth. When I was growing up, my parents and grandparents always taught me, before you make a big decision, you consult the Lord. Before you go buy a house, you need to make sure that's what the Lord wants. If you go buy a car, you make sure the Lord wants. I don't understand why deciding who's going to lead our nation is any less important than buying a car or a house. I believe we need to pray about these matters. And I'm going to say this. Win or lose, whoever it is in November, we as God's people better be praying for them. I used to think that you couldn't pray for somebody that wasn't saved. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the people in our government, they need our prayers. God may not be the light of their life, but He can change their mind such that He is the forefront of what they do in the direction that we're going in. He can show them what needs to be done. I don't know why that we have let ourselves be so jaded to believe that God is not able anymore. Last Sunday night, I told you I preached about exposing Satan. Satan has got his arms around all of our country, and he's laughing the whole way. A nation that used to be on fire for God, some of the greatest revivals this world has ever seen has taken place here, and God is being left out today. Read this with me tonight, this morning. And I promise you, I don't mean to be graphic, but Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 8. Says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I. This is God speaking. Behold, I, even I am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all of thine abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat the sons, and in the midst of thee the sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all of the winds. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all of thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eye spare thee, neither will I have any pity. God was saying that to this nation. He said, behold, I, even I, am against you. I've had a lot of enemies in my life, but I've never had God be my enemy. If there's anybody I don't want set against me, it's God. You see, I believe today the world has forgotten who's really in control. I believe they've forgotten who holds them in the palm of their hand. God told them, or Jesus told them, I am in control so much that I have made this world my footstool. You think about that. God just props up on the world. So I don't know where people today have gotten off thinking that God's not in control. He needs to be behind the very things that our world is behind. I want you to realize something about what these scriptures say. This is a long time ago. And people say, well, that won't happen again. If you've never read a history book, pick one up this week. You know what history tends to do? Repeat itself. Tends to repeat itself. Over and over and over, history repeats itself. You know when a repeat stops? When you change it. You know what the fact of the matter is today? Is that I've never seen a nation that has fallen so low that the sons are eating their fathers and fathers are eating their sons. But it can happen. No doubt this nation didn't think they would result to cannibalism. And I pray beyond prayers that the United States of America never sees a day like this. But it can. Rapidly, if things don't change. You see, that's why the decision in 2016, it rests on us. You see, if God's people don't band together and start serving God with everything that they have, God is going to set Himself against us. You say, preacher, would God destroy His people? Yes, 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 and yes. I want you to think about some churches you read about in the Bible. Remember church at Rome? It's not there. All of those seven churches in the book of Asia, more than likely, they're not there. The church at Corinth probably is not there. The church at Ephesus is probably not there. There's a whole multitude of churches that are no longer there in places that there used to be a stronghold of the gospel. And you say, preacher, He's not going to take it away from us. Oh, yes, He can. Asia used to have all of the truth. They used to have the truth at their very core. And you go over there today and the truth is not being taught. I pray that God doesn't take the truth from Middle Tennessee. I pray that God allows Mount Calvary Church to always be here and stand for the truth that it has. But the decision is on us. And I'm not talking about a mind decision for safe people. This is going beyond just lip service today. This is going beyond just saying we won't change. This is saying, God, we need Your help. We need His help. I don't know in my lifetime when I've seen people turning on their brothers, turning on their sisters. I want you to realize something this morning. God does not see your color. He doesn't care if you're black or white, silver or gold. Everybody has a soul that is in need of salvation. Everybody in this world needs the same gospel that was delivered to me. And I'm going to say this morning, if God's people would pray and take that gospel to them, this world would be a different place. We wouldn't have the destruction in our streets. Nashville has been spared. Nashville has really been spared. There's been things that have taken place, but it can get worse. This is not a bring you down, make you upset message. This is a call to action. I want you to realize this morning something else that took place here in Ezekiel. Turn with us to the 6th chapter, just right over. Talking about desolate altars. You want to talk about a parallel that's being made about desolate altars. They were still burning their offerings on altars that they had made. The ceremonial law was still in effect. They still had the Day of Atonement. They still had those things. We know that that didn't come to pass or be taken away until Jesus died on the cross. So this is still in effect. But I want to draw a parallel this morning. If you'll go with me for just a moment. Ezekiel chapter 6 verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me saying," talking about Ezekiel, writing this down. He says, "Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel. and prophesy against them. This morning I'm having to preach against one of the greatest nations in the world. There was something that happened a few years ago in Texas, and I don't remember how long ago it was. I had just been called to preach, I believe. And someone there was wanting all of the preachers to send in their transcripts of sermons that they were preaching so that they could review them before they preached them from behind the pulpit. If you would ask me to do that, the only thing I would know to do is give you this and say, well, that's what I'm preaching. Because that's all that I have. And when a nation has done wrong, God sent people to let them know that they had done wrong. Ezekiel was telling Israel, you have done something that has offended God, and therefore you need to turn yourself back to God. It says, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to everybody. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you. This is God speaking now. It says, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all of your dwelling place, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You want to talk about a place today? And I mean the church of the true and the living God, where there are some desolate altars before God. He was telling them, he said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to lay waste to everything that you have done. I'm going to destroy your high places. I'm going to take your altars and I'm going to break them down. All of your idols, they'll cease to be idols. I'm going to break them down. I look around today and I see desolate altars. Altars where people used to pour their hearts out to God, they're left desolate. All around the city of Nashville, you and I know this to be the truth, there are places that used to have truth in their buildings and they no longer do. Their altars have been left desolate. They've been left silent. They've been left quiet because God is bringing His sword upon this nation. He's bringing it upon His people. But there is still hope. There's still hope. I'm glad this morning that even though our altars may be desolate now, God still gives us His promise. I've quoted it a lot of times. I guess maybe someday when I'm gone, dead and gone, they'll say, well, you know, He talked a lot about the Great Commission. I hope that they can say that. It says, you do all of these things. What does it say at the end? Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, the Bible speaks about a remnant. Brother Bobby and Sister Stella and I were riding around the other week. I remember where we were going. And there was a church that we saw, and it was called the Remnant of something or another. And she said, why would they name it that? I said, because they were playing off what the Scripture says. The Bible says there will be a remnant somewhere. He didn't say where. He didn't say in what building. He didn't say what name it would be under. But He said there will be a remnant. Turn with me one more time this morning to Isaiah chapter 5. Actually, I lied to you. I got a couple more places that I need to read from this morning. Just a couple, and I'll try to close here in just a few moments. Isaiah chapter 6. Sorry. some of my most favorite scriptures. Sister Jean, my mom are laughing at me because I say that just about all of them. And I love them. I do. Why? Because there's work to do. I don't know. I guess maybe the last few months I have maybe beaten a dead horse. I believe Mount Calvary is a workhorse for the Lord. I believe that. But even as much as we're doing, there's still more to do. Nashville's a big old place. And there's a whole lot of lost people out there we haven't even seen yet. We haven't even scratched the surface with yet. This is what the Lord told Isaiah. It's what Isaiah told the Lord. He said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." And he said, "Go." This is what the Lord told Isaiah to go and tell them. "Tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat." And I didn't mean in a good way. He was telling them that they would have a dull mind, or they wouldn't even listen to him. You see, Isaiah even knew going in, these people wasn't going to pay him no attention. But you know what? To me, a lot of people, they're not going to listen to the gospel message. They're not. You know what the Bible says? Shake the dust off. The Lord told Ezekiel, he said, "You set your house as a watchman over the house of Israel. You blow the trumpet, you tell them when danger's coming. If they listen, they listen. If they don't, they don't. But if you don't tell them, the blood is on your hands. The blood is on your hands. You can't do anything about it if they don't listen. But if they don't hear, they're surely not going to listen." It says, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men from away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in thee shall be a tenth." You know what that is? The remnant. "And it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be a substance thereof." That is a blessing of the Lord. He said there would be a tent, there would be a remnant. Brothers and sisters, I know the Bible says there's going to be a remnant. I believe that. But we're not done yet. Our work is not finished. Go with me to the New Testament for just a few moments. 1 Timothy, and I'm going to close with these verses. I told you this morning, as we get started, there's a decision to be made this year. You see, I won't be voting on the national election day. And you say, "Preacher, you just told us to vote." See, I'm going to have to vote early because I'll be working the polls. There's going to be a decision that's made that day. Don't leave God out of the decision. You say, "Preacher, I don't know that I can make a decision with who we've got." I'm going to be honest with you. God is going to have to help us. He just really is. In the next 4 years, things can change very quickly. But you see, it's not just him, the president, the next man or woman that gets to be our president. That's not going to be the deciding factor. You see, because they may hold the highest position in the United States, but my God holds the ultimate position. He can still bless a nation. He can still help a nation. And He can still love a nation. There were a lot of times nations had kings that God did not like, and He still blessed them because the nation was serving the Lord in such a way that it blessed God. A lot of times they had a king that God loved, and God still brought them down. We're facing this decision, and I beg you as a church, most of you all are at the age you can go vote. Pray about your decision. But you know who the deciding one is? It's God Himself. I want you to read these verses of Scripture with me. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. And I believe this is how God intends for things to go. People today, I hear people all the time say, "You know, we would just be better off if we didn't have a government." They would rather see an anarchy or a place with no rules or anything like that and just live as a free-for-all 5 minutes, and people would be begging for some kind of normalcy. They'd be begging for some kind of rules. I'm convinced today, you can tell me you don't like rules all day long, but the moment you don't have any, you'll be begging for somebody to give you some guidelines so that you can live your life. Brother Mike and I, and Sister Donna, we have kind of a different outlook on some things with the law and different things. The law is such that it sets parameters for how people live their lives. Sister Lynn and her husband Todd, they get to see that. We have laws so that they protect people, so that people don't hurt themselves. There's some laws that God doesn't appreciate. You know what the Bible says? It says if it goes against God's law, we don't do anything with it. But if it goes in line with what the Word says, we're supposed to follow those laws. Human error is a big thing in our world. People make mistakes. Our lawmakers, they make mistakes. Why? Because they're human. You want to know the biggest reason why they make mistakes? Because they leave Him out of it. If He was in their decisions, we wouldn't be in half the mess that we're in. But rules are necessary. Laws are necessary. So people that believe we don't need that, I believe, are just quite frankly insane. People say, well, the Bible doesn't give specific instructions about government. I believe that it does. Many times it talks about Caesar, rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's. So I believe even God recognizes that there are people that hold authoritative positions. These verses of Scriptures, I believe, will back that up. Second chapter of 1 Timothy says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody. You know what God's people need to do? We need to pray for our fellow man. Our neighbors, our loved ones, the people down the street we don't know. People that are living their lives in ways that we don't agree with. We were sitting around Thursday evening at the student fellowship, and somebody said, you can't change someone's lifestyle, but God can. I can't change the way people are living. I can't do it. I can't take that Bible and beat them over the head with it until they decide to see things my way. Doesn't work like that. But you know how it does work? Through the Holy Spirit. Because when God's people, when people get saved, what have I told you since the very beginning of me being your pastor? God changes lives. And if God changes lives, He changes hearts, He changes minds, He changes homes, He changes churches, and He changes our nation when we come together. Amen. That's what He does. I can't change it, and neither can you. But you know what we can do? We can pray. God's people should be praying for this nation. Not only this nation, but this entire world that we're living in. People need prayer today. And it should not just be on Sunday. Who else does it say pray for? If you're going to sit there and tell me that you don't believe you need to pray for your leaders, don't read these next verses. Actually, close your eyes and close your ears before I read them. I believe we need to pray for our leaders. They are leading our country, so therefore when you pray, mention them in prayer, because God can use them. He can, and He will. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority. Comma. Doesn't stop there. Not a period. It's a comma. Just to stop for just a second. A pause. What's going to happen if we do that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What a novelty that would be if we could live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But what have we got to do? We've got to make a decision to serve God and put Him first. We've got to. I'm just going to be frank with you this morning. My vote is not for Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Elvis Presley, Ross Perot, any of them. I don't know who's even running anymore. I don't even care at this point. All I care about is that God is the one that we set our affections on. Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know which way to go, but our eyes, they are upon Thee. He looked out over the sea He saw the Moabites coming. They were fixing to destroy his country. He fell on his face and he said, "Lord, I don't know which way to go. None of us do. But Lord, our eyes, they are on me. I don't know which way to go this morning. But Lord, my eyes are on you. Lord, please help us as a nation." May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand together and while we sing.